This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. On February 19th, many Black St. Louisans were distraught when they learned that the Annie Malone May Day Parade, one of the oldest and biggest African American parades in the U.S., was canceled due to financial challenges. Losing such a beloved St. Louis tradition, which began in 1910, was a shock and a blow. So people rallied, and within several days, despair moved to celebration. With support from local and state leaders, the historic parade returned to the 2025 calendar. The near loss of the Annie Malone May Day Parade illuminated just how many folks cherish it, but it also highlighted a gap in basic and deeper knowledge about the parade's origins and the woman the parade is named for. Linda Nance is the founder and president of the Annie Malone Historical Society, and she joins us now to fill in some of those gaps, especially ones about Annie Malone's philanthropic and cultural legacy. Linda, welcome to St. Louis on the Air.
Happy to be here.
So, Linda, Annie Malone is heralded as one of the first Black American millionaires, which was quite a feat, especially in the early 1900s. But there's been a renewed interest in her legacy with that announced cancellation, and thankfully the rebooking of the Annie Malone May Day Parade. Before we kind of dive deeper into the incredible woman she was, talk with us about this parade. How is it that the Annie Malone May Day Parade started?
It first started as a celebration to be happy about the mortgage burning. The facility that we know now as the Annie Malone Children and Family Service Center had its building in 1922 as the St. Louis Colored Orphans Home. And it was a piece of property that Annie Malone donated, valued at about $10,000 at that particular point. And when they actually burned that mortgage in about, for that building, they started a parade. They had a parade before then, mm-hmm. but they did one. I don't know exactly what year it actually started in earnest, but it started as a way to burn a mortgage. Mm-hmm. And then when they built the building at Annie Malone Drive now, it just continued on and on and on and on. Mm-hmm. That building was built in 1922, but they had been having parades before that in the community. And it got so large, it got to be in several different places in the St. Louis community. Mm-hmm. And it's just continued in her honor ever since.
Yeah. Now, the first parade back in 1910,
yes.
I'm just trying to imagine, you know, what that looked like. What information do you have about the beginnings of it? You know, how big was it? Where was it happening?
Well, it was happening in the immediate community. If memory serves me right, mm-hmm. There was an old soldier's building that it was in its very start, mm-hmm. and then it moved to a location off of Natural Bridge, and then it moved to the location that it's on now, and then actually it moved one more time to Page Avenue, where it currently has mm-hmm. residence. But it was a community parade, and it was an opportunity for African-American people to celebrate their excellence. There were very few opportunities for that to happen. Mm-hmm. So you had organized groups of residents and women and men, fraternal groups that would come. There would be bands, local bands or community bands, that would all participate in that parade. And it just has gotten larger exponentially ever since, mm-hmm. and always, though, involved the African-American community. Mm-hmm. When it was on the Annie Malone Drive, as it's named now, it is something that I remember. I'd marched in that parade as a brownie when I was probably 8 or 9 years old, mm-hmm. which is the case for a lot of people in St. Louis. They remember so very fondly just hordes of people in the community There was a time when you saw more African Americans together than any other time I can remember as a child. Mm-hmm. And they were celebrating the excellence of them. There were marching bands from different schools, elementary, high school, even community kinds of bands or drill teams would come. It was a time to celebrate and pull out the very best that you had in the community.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like this would be more than a parade that, you know, starts and stops at a very particular time. Was this also like a celebration that lasted throughout the day?
Oh, yes. It lasted for hours because mm-hmm. you spent a good portion of your season in the year preparing yeah. for it. Churches were frequently called upon to help support the children's home through donation and through volunteer work at the home, in fact. And I was one of those young people as well. Mm-hmm. Our church, Washington Tabernacle Missionary Baptist Church, was one that was very involved in volunteering at the organization. So during that parade time, a lot of churches let out early because they knew they were going to be involved in that parade. A lot right. of their young people, a lot of their adults would be involved in that parade.
How did it feel to be part of the parade? At different points in your life.
Well, glorious was my first one because as a Brownie, I was so very proud to march. It was a really long walk. I do remember that too.
Right.
But was very proud to do that and be a part of this really bigger than life thing in our community. And then as an adult, I worked at the Annie Malone Children and Family Service Center as their director of resource development for a time and was responsible for trying to make sure that the St. Louis community knew about the parade and knew about Annie Malone and why they actually attended the parade. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just a celebration. It was a celebration to support young people who did not have families.
Mm-hmm.
And that has changed a lot because you're not just orphaned anymore. You have a situation where you have families that cannot care for children. So they step in and do that.
Mm-hmm. Now, when Annie Malone Children and Family Services had shared on February 19th that the parade was being postponed, there was an outpouring of comments online expressing disappointment, there is confusion. I think this is a good point at which to remind everyone that the Annie Malone Children and Family Services is not related to the Annie Malone Historical Society, but obviously you have your personal history there.
I have a personal history. I have a personal desire to support their efforts. They are a central, very important part of that community, a part of the African-American community. And that doesn't need to go away.
Mm-hmm.
And the parade is one of the resources, the major resources that they use to fund their activity. So it really doesn't need to go away. But the focus still needs to be on caring for children.
Right.
And I applaud Keisha Lee. I know she had to make a really, really difficult decision to do that. But it obviously was a good one because it demonstrates that the community values the parade.
Mm-hmm.
In learning more about Annie Malone herself, I'm hoping that people can understand why it is that she was involved in trying to provide resources for young people. And I hope that the community in St. Louis continues to do that on into the future.
Mm-hmm. The place that this parade occupies, the place that Annie Malone has in St. Louis history as a philanthropist and as a cultural figure. Talk with us about that. What is it that people should know? I mean, I've been in St. Louis now for about 10 and a half years, and I have heard the name Annie Malone and seen kind of bits and pieces about her. What are the needs to know about Annie Malone?
At one point, she was described in the media as a giving freak.
Oh, okay.
Because she gave so much of her wealth to her causes. And the particular one that she had from 1919, when she became board president of the home was the home. She cared for the children's home till she died. Even though she was not in St. Louis anymore, she was still a large champion and proponent of supporting that organization. She made her millions in the hair care industry. She was one who didn't just have a product, but she had an industry that she was trying to promote and care for and share with people. Her attention to it, she started in 1900 with the hair care business, creating the wonderful hair grower. And she trained in her lifetime 75,000 women across the United States and the world, for that matter. And she also trained them not just in the hair care industry or in the change in the paradigm for economics for women of color. She told them to be a part of your community. Mm-hmm. Be a part of the housing, the stocks, the bonds, the volunteerism. She taught a way of life that gave Black women agency to be positive in their communities and support their communities in all different kinds of ways. Mm-hmm. Their churches, different organizations within the different communities that they had. She was a real force because she had schools. She was the first one to take education for cosmetology to a different level. She had schools all over the United States. She had supply stations in different places within the United States. And she taught women very, very clearly how to walk, talk, sit, stand, do hair, do books, do anything that was necessary to be a success at their business, success in their communities. So that was a real different kind of way of looking at things. She was in St. Louis until 1927 after a very ugly divorce. She basically asked her husband to leave me the business. I'll give you $200,000 and just go away, would you please, and leave me my business. And that happened, but she also left St. Louis in 1927 and went to Chicago. She had five different expansions. So this lady is one that thought about some of everything and was involved in supporting a variety of things that pushed people of color forward.
Maybe the answer to this question is, you know, it's self-evident, but what was it in her personal biography that made her so committed both to what you've described about her as an entrepreneur, but also to supporting the orphan's home, the home for children?
Annie Malone was the 10th of 11 children. She was orphaned herself, and there is a question about exactly how young she was or how old she was. She was raised by her siblings in Peoria, Illinois, and she had a desire very early on to teach people how to take care of themselves and represent themselves better, particularly women. And as she went forward, She never had any children of her own, and she latched on to being a help to young people who did not have families, and it just continued. St. Louis was her home base, so to speak, in terms of her supporting the children's home. But I think, too, there were many examples of where she supported other children's organizations throughout the country. She was very supportive and encouraged on a collective basis the poor old agents that she had. She encouraged them to pray every day, and at different times she'd send out a call to say, we're going to pray at 1 o'clock and give you times in Colorado and other places in the world to say, we're going to come together as a group, and we are stronger as a group than we are anything else. She sent out newsletters. She was very, very present in the African-American press. I have a personal question to say, did Annie Malone help to make the Black press, or did the Black press help to make Annie Malone? I don't know which one, but they were in lockstep with one another. And always, always asking people to support with their dollars what it is you believe in.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a really strong piece. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why she was very committed. She made a statement at one point I read that said, this is not my money, it's God's money. So I am supposed to make sure it goes to places to uplift people.
Mm-hmm.
She was very, very involved with the National Association of Colored Women's Clubs, and their mission and their desire was to always lift as we climb.
Mm-hmm.
And she tried to live that.
We're speaking with Linda Nance, who is the founder and president of the Annie Malone Historical Society. So clearly she was she had in mind stewardship.
Absolutely.
And the giving freak moniker,
yes.
It kind of comes from that. So one of the things about cultural significance, with close friends in my own life, and on this show, I've had conversations about the cultural significance and the real life ramifications of how Black women wear their hair. What did Annie Malone's success in this very particular industry spark for Black women?
Obviously, the economic boost that it gave, because I am a trained person in a profession that is useful to my community, and I gain economically from it, I have a stability other people don't have. And the other part of what Annie Malone offered, I believe, is a lifestyle. She was selling not just hair care products. She was selling an image that said, if you groom yourself in a way that demonstrates you are interested in your own self-esteem, you improve that self-esteem, and you put yourself in a position that you can't be talked to just any kind of way.
Mm.
So what I believe she also did is uplift the self-esteem of women in general who were African-American. Yes, there were some men involved. But it was mostly targeted at African-American women. So she taught people how to groom themselves and care for their hair and keep it clean. And she also had a personal, I think, protest against a standard of beauty. It was a white standard of beauty. And Annie Malone's philosophy said, you're beautiful just like you are.
Mm.
Make yourself presentable and present your best self in all that you do. And everyone will see what that is,
yeah,
and will be hesitant to treat you in a negative way. And of course, during that particular time in the early 1900s, racism was a very, very large thing. There were a lot of people who did not believe Black women had a desire to groom themselves in any particular way, which was so far from the truth. When she first started her business, Black women would use goose grease and fat and lard and lye on their hair, which damaged their scalp,
mm-hmm,
and many times put sores in their head, which made it difficult for them to have well-groomed hair. And she changed a lot of that by teaching people what kinds of things you need to do to maintain a good head of hair.
Mm-hmm.
And she's ended up with not just hair care products, but beauty products, powders and perfumes and a wide variety of products that made her a millionaire. What I found really interesting when I looked at things is the price list that talked about 50 cents for this and 75 cents for something else.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to have a really large distribution outlet in order to make you millions of dollars.
Right. Well, and she was making that money by working with Black community members and keeping that money then in
the
community.
Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
So founding the Historical Society, right, what was it that prompted you to do that? And is there something in particular that you learned early on that affirmed that what you were doing was moving in the right direction?
I don't know how to say this any more simply than it pissed me off that I went to the library, the main library here in St. Louis, trying to find information about Annie Malone. And I was told the file that I had with two pieces of paper in it was because all of her information was at the Julia Davis Library. They were very good friends, in fact, mm-hmm. Julia Davis and Annie Malone. I went to the Julia Davis Library to find that there wasn't very much information there either. Well, personally, in my growing up in St. Louis, and have been involved with going to Annie Malone, my Christmases started there, my Thanksgiving started at Annie Malone, working mm-hmm. with the young people there. They were part of our girls' auxiliary at our church. I knew there were a lot more things about Annie Malone than they had in that library. That pissed me off. I asked the Missouri History Museum to help Annie Malone spread the story that Annie Malone was much more than just a parade. Mm-hmm. I think the Annie Malone Children and Family Service did a wonderful thing about publicizing the parade, but they did not, as far as I was concerned at that point, tell the story of who she was and why it is that people go to the parade and what they are supporting. So the idea was that if I work with the History Museum to get that word out and tell more about her story in 2007, I think it was, mm-hmm. Then we would have a larger turnout at the parade. There was a time when the parade was only in the African-American community, and then it moved to downtown St. Louis at about that same time. So when I didn't find much information, and I knew that Annie Malone's involvement in the St. Louis area for 30 years was much more aggressive than that, I was not very happy with that. Mm-hmm. And even after I left the Annie Malone Children and Family Service Center, I continued to research information. And my husband, quite frankly, asked me why and what are you going to do with this stuff you've collected? Mm-hmm. And we put it on the internet and we started the organization.
So it's really, to find more information, go to the website.
Yes, mm-hmm. absolutely.
And the website is?
AnnieMaloneHistoricalSociety.org. Mm-hmm. Very simple. www.AnnieMaloneHistoricalSociety.org.
Well, I'm glad that you were prompted by your rage to produce something this important. And it'll be great to brush up on that history in her biography before the parade does happen this year.
That is wonderful. We're a mobile exhibit. We're not in a place. We go to different places. We've been at the Field House. We've been at Hairstow. We've been at the St. Louis Lambert Airport. Mm-hmm. And we'll keep moving to show people and teach people about Annie Malone.
Thank you so much for sharing all of that. Linda Nance is the founder and president of the Annie Malone Historical Society. Be sure to check out that website.
This episode was produced by Maya Norfleet.
Our audio engineer is Aaron Doerr. This podcast was mixed and edited by Aaron.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri St. Louis.
The Gateway brings you the day's news each weekday from around the St. Louis region and the state capitals in Jefferson City.
Our schools are accredited. We don't need this bill.
And Springfield.
How many more years must pass before lawmakers see time is of the essence?
I'm Abby Larico. Join me each weekday for The Gateway on the STLPR app or wherever you get podcasts.